Thank you, Blake. Please open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Haggai. And I'd like us to start with a text in Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. It's good to be together this morning as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship our God. We are blessed to be able to enjoy the freedoms of worship in accordance with what Scripture teaches. And for a few moments, I'd like for us to think about a text in the book of Haggai. I just got back from a preacher study that was in Bowling Green, Kentucky, on the book of Zechariah. And Zechariah is roughly in the same time period. And so while I'm thinking about that pre-exilic time period, I'd like us to talk a little bit about a text in Haggai chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1, the text reads, "In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people says, The time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses? And this temple to lie in ruins." We may not appreciate this without knowing a few things about the background of the book of Haggai. As I mentioned a moment ago, it is what we would refer to as a post-exilic book. And what we mean by that is, of course, Israel, as it would eventually be divided with Israel and Judah, Israel being carried off in the Assyrian captivity, and then ultimately Judah as well during the Babylonian captivity. This is a period that falls after that. Now, our text mentions the temple lying in ruins. That goes back to what had taken place in 586 BC when the first temple that had been built by Solomon was destroyed by the Babylonians. In the period after that, when the Persians would come to power, eventually there would be three returns in 536, 457, and 444 BC. This book falls, as the text mentions, in the second year of Darius. And this is not Darius the Mede of the book of Daniel. This is what history often knows as Darius the First or Darius the Great, sometimes referred to as Darius Hystaspes. And he reigned from 522 to 486 BC. And what we're looking at here is alluded to a little bit, or the stage is set for it back in Ezra 4, where during this period where this return is coming about and certain rebuilding is coming about, in Ezra 4 we learn that Samaritan adversaries had persuaded the Persian king Artaxerxes to force a stop to some of the building. And so we see that the temple has continued to lie in ruins, even though some of the return has gone on. And our text here essentially declares it's time to build. Let's continue reading and go down to verse 11, verse 5. "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and on the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands." And we
are told here that during this period where they were busy building their own houses, but they were not devoting themselves to rebuilding the temple. And because of that, as an act of punishment and as a lesson to them, the Lord had brought a drought upon the land. He brought famine upon the land. They didn't have the things that they needed. And the Lord explains here why that had happened. And he tells them it's time to get to work. Now, we may look at this and think, well, that's kind of an interesting story. You know, what does that have to do with me and my life? What does that have to do with us today? Well, the admonition that's given here in this text to consider your ways, and as it describes here the misplaced priorities that these Jews who had come back from exile had come back and were beginning the process of worshiping God as they should. They kind of got things out of whack in terms of where their priorities were. Turn with me over to the New Testament, and if you would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are likely familiar with the fact that the New Testament will use the figure of a temple as it pertains to worship in Christ in at least a couple of ways. We'll see times later on in this very book, especially in the context of talking about self-control and avoiding immorality, the body being described as a temple of the Holy Spirit. But here in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, I think it's probably using that figure in a different way. It's not simply talking about us as individuals being temples of the Holy Spirit, but I would submit to you it's talking about Christians collectively being a temple of God. Notice what our text says in chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. As we think about that figure, under Christ, there's not a building that we look to. There's not a location on earth that we pray to. But rather, instead, we recognize that God's people, especially when we think about that relationship that we have with God in Christ, we are a kingdom, we are a family, we are a flock, we are a temple. And I want us to think about that in light of what we see in the book of Haggai, and I want us to consider our ways, each of us individually, because are there times in our own lives where we're diligent and we're busy building our own lives and building our own house, but we pay little attention to the well-being, we pay little attention to the construction and the growth and the building of the Lord's house, the temple which is His church? And as we think about that, I think the admonition in Haggai can well have application to us today, because we certainly need to consider our ways. We need to not just sit back and devote ourselves to the things of our own life, but we need to be diligent and devoted to building the temple of God, which is His church. Over in 1 John, if you go with me to 1 John chapter 1, I want you to notice some wording that we find in 1 John chapter 1, and let's look at verses 5 through 7, where there you'll remember some things that are said about God as light. Verse 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." Verse 6 then will go on to say, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we do not practice the truth." Now, we understand these figures of light and dark are not talking about sun, the moon, not talking about material light and darkness, but talking about good and evil and right and wrong. And we understand God is all goodness. His ways are all light. Then notice with me verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light," notice a consequence that says, almost a natural consequence, "we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." I can't help but see in that statement a few things. First of all, walking in the light naturally involves fellowship with others who are walking in the light. As we think of the admonition here in Haggai chapter 1 to consider our ways to build the temple of the Lord, we see the statement here that when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. What if I don't put that as much of a priority? What if my connection to my brothers and sisters in Christ is just kind of an afterthought? It's not something that I put much attention to. And you may say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't teach there's kind of a quota of things that we have to do, or if we're talking about, you know, times that we assemble together, there's not a clock we have to punch, or there's not a checklist. Well, I recognize that. But I also recognize all of those things are involved in building the Lord's temple today. Are we devoted to our own things, but we neglect building of the temple of God? I want us to think about that as we consider the admonition in Haggai chapter 1. Let us do all that we can to devote ourselves to the building of the Lord's temple. Let us consider our ways, and let us allow Haggai and the admonition that was given to the Jews of his time to speak to us and to challenge us to be the kind of people we ought to be.